reports local Scots report pressure to sell their lands to Trump's corporations, a practice steadfastly denied by Trump International Scotland. For WPFW News in Washington and WBAI in New York, I'm Sue Goodwin.
Tap, tap, a tap, tap, whap, bop, tap, a tap, tap. Gold Mary in the bag, tied around my handy for my protection. I'm walking around, big old sack on my back, coming in your direction. What kind of tea do you like? I got it. I'm the medicine man, herb from the land, yeah. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Hey, rosemary, calm your nerves, got peppermint leaf to get rid of my fever. I keep periwinkle to get some love now. Whoa, I got hug me clothes to make my backbone strong. Go. Cola, tonic for my blood, dandelion for my bones, y'all. I can lead to keep away flies. Hot lady cayenne for my pressure. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Get the children out the way now. No, you can't smoke this, sir. This is for salad. Yes, for salad. Herb and herb, herb.
Recording in progress.
Good afternoon, good afternoon. And welcome to another episode of To Your Health. To Your Health is a program designed not only to inform, but to also turn your life and health around. I am Dr. Theodore Watkins, the host of To Your Health, and I'm here with my able, trusty assistant, Mr. Frank Smith. How you doing, Brother Frank?
I'm doing well, Doc. Thank you.
Fantastic, fantastic. You know, I've often said that fasting is the best kept secret in town. Fasting is the best kept secret in town. And to help sort of elucidate that and help people to understand why I say that, we have with us our favorite nutritionist, author, Dr. Ruby Layford. How you doing, Dr. Ruby?
I'm doing good. Fantastic. Great. Glad to be here.
So am I sort of overstating this thing about fasting being one of the best kept secrets in town, or is there some truth to that?
There's a lot of truth to it. It really is, you know, one of the best things that you can do. And I think our body almost naturally, when we're really sick, kind of forces us to fast because you usually lose your appetite, right? And when you're really ill and you don't want to eat and you just want to kind of maybe lay down and sleep, and that's your body saying what you need is to take a rest, because digestion is one of the most energy consuming things that your body does, right? So when you pause that, it gives the body a chance to do the deep cleaning and the deep repair that it wouldn't get to because it's handling sometimes assaults that we're giving to our body with the wrong food. So when you stop eating altogether for a period of time, the body gets to do its work and help the repair, and your immune system gets to do you know, some cellular regeneration and things like that.
So you know, we get to sleep. We get to rest.
Right.
But our bodies, you know, we keep them going nonstop.
Right.
So, if I'm hearing what you're saying, when you fast, one of the things that you're doing is giving your the body a chance to rest and recoup, you know, and overcome some of the assaults.
Right. Because some of us are assaulting our bodies with the food that we're eating. So, well, and the amount.
You know, and interestingly enough, I mean, we do enough damage to our bodies, but now our environment, you know, it comes with both guns blazing, you know? And
right.
I remember, and I've said this before, I went to Baton Rouge, Louisiana for a funeral. One of my high school mate's mother had died of pancreatic cancer. And she was the second person in that family, I mean, in that church, a little church, about 100 people. At the time, pancreatic cancer only represented less than 1% of the deaths from cancer in this country. That of course has changed now, but at that time, back in the day, it was very, very low. And as I drove into town, the petroleum hit me, you know, and I hadn't read it, but it just hit my spirit. That's why these ladies died, you know. So we have this assault that we put on it, and then we have assault that our environment puts on us, to say nothing of the electrical and nuclear and all other ways that we assault ourselves. And so when we fast, we're helping to cleanse all of that stuff out. And so that's to me seems like a pretty good thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, there are a lot of different ways to fast. So, and we can get into the different ways, but the great thing about fasting is, especially if we're looking at water fasting, it can be free. So, I mean, that makes it easy, and it's a way to, you know, instill discipline. And I'm starting a fast today, actually. I've been eating fruits and veggies over the weekend in preparation for the fasting. So you're not going into it really heavy with heavy food.
Before we get into that, how would you define a fast, you know?
Yeah. So fasting is just restricting eating for a period of time. So, you know, the common one is, it means not eating, and in some cases, not drinking or drinking only water. And for some, it means drinking just like vegetable juices or, you know, vegetable and fruit juices. So we're talking like intermittent fasting. We're talking about not eating for 16 hours and only eating for 8 hours, for an 8-hour window. And that's a pretty common thing that a lot of people have been doing, that because the longer you go without food, the better. For your body to do all that repair and rest and the things that we talked about. So for some people, they can't fast. They can't go 24 hours with no food because they need to take it for medications or other reasons or illnesses. But for a lot of people, they can do at least the intermittent fasting where they're only eating for an 8-hour window. So it means you're just not eating for a period of time. And it's usually, you know, 16 to 24 hours at a minimum is what would be considered a fast.
Yeah. So there, like you said, there are different kinds of fasts, that there's abstaining from sometimes from things that you like, you know,
right.
We find at the beginning of the year, a lot of churches will do that fast where they'll abstain from things they like, or, you know, like you said, sometimes it's not eating anything at all, or just eating certain foods for a period of time. And sometimes we call it cleansing and detoxification. But one of the things that's clear that a fast is not starvation or a hunger strike, you know?
Right.
Some people, they just want to eat all the time. And so just to shut that down is a major, major thing. There's a total fast, there's a water fast, there's a juice fast, there's a fruit fast. And like I said, there's fast for certain foods. And so a lot of different kinds of fast. Now, you're going to fast, you say. How long do you plan on fasting?
I'm starting with a 5-day water fast, and then I'm just going to merge into raw foods after that.
Okay. So why are you fasting? I mean, there are a number of reasons. Some people fast to detox their body, some lose weight. You know, I put all of my diabetic patients on a fast, lower cholesterol, boost your immune system. There are a number of things that you can do, get rid of joint pains, or you know, mm-hmm. You just want to rest yourself.
Yeah, no, to be honest, you know, I'm like, I've decided to be transparent. You know, I sometimes let work and stress get the best of me, and I don't always do what I know to do, and I might overeat or, you know, get out of my regular routine. So I found myself with extra pounds on, and I was like, okay, now is the time, because fasting is very mental and you need to be mentally ready to do it. And I'm like, I'm mentally ready to, because it's about when you're not eating, you know, it's like you need to have that discipline and all of that to be able to not do it. And so I'm like, okay, I'm ready now to do this. And just as a way to control weight, but also a cleanse. It's a good time to do a cleanse, because when you're doing like a water fast, you have what happens after the first 24 hours, you have what's called autophagy. And that's where the cells get to, you're basically regenerating, cleansing at a cellular level. And so I really like to do cleanses periodically. And so that's another reason to do it. Is to get that cellular level cleanse. And I may do it longer than 5 days. I'm just putting that for at a minimum. So we'll see how it goes after that. And then move from there. So I'm doing it as like a tune-up, and to get myself back regulated, to get back on a normal schedule. And, you know, kind of, it's like a check, a self-check, like, okay, we got to get back in balance here. So let's do this.
And you know, I think that all of us go through periods where we may get off track a little bit. Of course, you're getting off track is different than some other people getting off track, because you're pretty conscious of the kinds of things that you eat, and so
right. And I still eat very healthy. It's, you can just do too much of that, and not only that. You know, sleeping, I have to say, where I have to improve is like, I tend to get working and staying up way too late. And that does affect everything when you're not sleeping properly. It definitely affects weight and hormone balance. So, you know, I know where my problem areas are. So it's like, in order to, once I get one thing in check, everything else cascades to get in check too. And, you know, fasting is one way to, because you're saving time. You don't have to cook and think about what you're eating. And it gives you a sense of discipline. And then that discipline for me carries over into every other part of my life. So it's a way to, like I said, reset and like, okay, let's get back to balance here with our sleeping and, you know, our exercise and everything. So for me, the easiest thing is to, okay, let's just stop this one thing. Let's do a cleanse. Let's reset. And then, of course, I'm going to go to bed earlier because you get hungry at night. So if you're sleeping, you can't eat, right? So,
But the other thing is, you know, it's amazing how when you start doing one thing right, it sort of leads into another.
It does.
Fasting actually helps to improve your sleep.
Right.
Especially after that first day for the water fast and the first 3 days for a juice, a modified juice fast, you know, you really notice that you're sleeping better.
Right.
You also notice that you're less depressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Less anxiety, you know. There's so much in our society, especially around now, so much craziness going around, and people get anxious. And so when you fast, your body sort of shifts gears. You know, Brother Frank, I used to have this car. It was a Saab, man. And of all the cars I've had, and I've had all kind of cars, that Saab I love better than any of them in terms of driving. Really? And it was a 5-speed, you know. And I get out on the road, man, and when you throw it into that fifth gear, the car just sort of, it's like it just sort of sits down and rolls, man. And that's what happens when you fast. Your body sort of shifts into another gear, and you just start cruising, Doc.
right. Yeah, and that is exactly how it works for me, and that's what I'm looking forward to. And I was like, so yeah, the next 30 days are going to be great because it gets me back to the, you know, the habits and the things that I like to do, and just back to balance, really, because that's what it's about sometimes when you're, because it's a hormonal imbalance, you know, when you're not, you know, doing the things you need to do, and when you're not sleeping at the times you're supposed to sleep, that causes hormonal imbalance. It also raises blood pressure and a lot of things. So, so that one thing, you know, that one thing is a trigger for everything else for me.
We talk all the time. Whenever we talk about disease, we talk about inflammation.
Right.
And one of the things that fasting does, it helps to get that inflammation out of your system.
Exactly.
With pain, you know, painful joints.
Right.
They often feel much better, you know, whether it's rheumatoid arthritis, osteoarthritis, you know, fibromyalgia, any of those things, it sort of gets those poisons, those toxins, that inflammation out of the system, and it decreases inflammation, you know? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't realize that inflammation is part of that overall immune system.
Right.
And so when you're getting rid of inflammation, you're also improving the immune system. You get the antioxidants going, you know, and it's just beautiful. And a lot of people would do it for just spiritual reasons. One of my homeboys, big time preacher, wherever he was, he would have me in his church and do the fast. Well, he was called to do, he was a tremendous preacher. So he would get calls all over the country. So he's called to Philadelphia to do a week of prayer. And he said, Doc, I want to put the church on your fast. All right. And I'm going to talk about it from a spiritual perspective, you know, because they'll be able to get a deeper relationship with God when they fast. He said, but I want you to come at the end of the week and talk about the physical, you know, and it was amazing. I just started asking questions of what changes the people noticed. I didn't have to do any talking, Frank, you know, they did the talking for me. They talked about how their blood pressures decreased, how their sugars decreased, how their weight decreased, how their skin cleared up, you know, how they were less anxious and so forth. And so all of these things are things that happen when we go on a fast, you know. And so we need to get excited, I think, for that. You know, the Bible is full of examples of fasting. Christ went on started his earthly ministry with a 40 days total fast, Doc. Mm-hmm. He wasn't even drinking water. that's a roughie. But
yeah.
But he did that. And then Daniel, Bible said, Daniel sought the Lord with prayer, supplication, fasting, sackcloth and ashes. When he was doing some serious praying, he used a fast. And what I found is that just about everything in the scriptures, major, was started with fasting, you know.
Uh-huh.
But you know, I put just about all of my patients on a fast.
Uh-huh. You know,
I used to put everybody on a fast but cancer patients. But then uh-huh. I discovered something. There's something called IGF-1, insulin growth factor 1.
Right.
That actually is decreased when you fast. And high levels of IGF-1 is associated with increased levels of cancer. And so it's amazing when you fast, you're actually decreasing your chances of getting cancer. And if you have cancer, you're getting, you're increasing your ability to reverse that cancer because you're bringing that IGF-1 down, you know.
Right.
And that's so, so very, very, very important, you know. So you say you're going to do 5-10 days on
Yeah, 5 to 10 days, just still feeling how it goes. But yeah, that's the goal. Hopefully 10. But we'll see. We're minimum 5 and just take it easy from there. And it's important when you're doing a fast to kind of have some guidance, right? Because there's electrolytes. You can have electrolytes in balance if you're not having a little sea salt or magnesium or something like that. So that's something if you've never fasted before, you know, you would want guidance before doing a water fast more than a day or two.
You're absolutely correct. You know, after like the third day, you really get this shift. And if you don't know what you're doing, you can actually get in serious trouble. You know, we call it acid-base balance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was in med school, we would study how patients could really get in serious difficulties, even healthy people, if they don't have the right acid-base balance. And so
right.
Doing a water fast, you do need to be guided unless you know what you're doing.
Right.
Fortunately, you are learned and you've studied mm-hmm. fasting and I'm sure put people on fast. And so you know what to expect. Plus,
right.
how to ouch if you start getting in trouble. And that's a thing that a lot of people don't know how to do. They feel they can just do anything. And,
right.
All right.
Exactly.
You know.
And
yes.
Especially if you are on medications,
right.
Because your blood pressure will drop, your blood sugar will drop, and other things, your potassium will drop, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're on these medications, just note that you might need to cut your medications.
I would suggest for people who are on medications to definitely reach out and find someone
exactly.
who's experienced in fasting to be mm-hmm. able to guide them because,
right.
you know, you're gonna have some going to have some difficulties, you know.
Mm-hmm.
One guy, I put him on my fasting program, and he had kidney failure and valvular heart disease. And I told him to check with the cardiologist and get his medicines adjusted. He called me, Dr. Lathan. His blood pressure was like 50 something over 40 something.
Yeah.
Brother about to check out. I was so upset with him. I said, get in here. I cut all his medicines in half, you know, and then said, now you get to the cardiologist. And of course, the cardiologist said, you know, you did exactly the right thing, you know, but he was told what to do, but he was so hard-headed, he was going to do it his way. It didn't work. Now, you know, I think the longest person I've ever had on my fast was 90 days, you know. This guy lost 89 pounds, Doc.
And was that like a broth?
Yeah, that was the what I call the modified juice diet. I mean, fast, where he was drinking waters, herbal teas, vegetable broth, and fruit and vegetable juices. I don't know if I mentioned that. You know, so he was doing that, and he was walking. You know. And that walking was also very, very helpful, because he wanted, his main thing was to lose weight. And when he called me, because he was working during this time and traveling a lot, you know. And so he called me because he had gone 2 weeks without losing any weight. And I said, double your walking. Double the amount that you're walking. And when he did that, he lost, I mean, he lost 2 weeks of weight in just a couple of days. I mean, it was amazing. Yeah. So it's important for you to most people, they will go, you know, 10, 14 days on our program, but you know, you can really get significant improvement. So we've talked about a lot of things. I say you'll get a jump start with the fast, you know.
Right. And that's what it's really great for, a jump start. And that's you know, kind of jolts the system. It also can reset your metabolism. And, you know, as you mentioned, it helps with like insulin resistance, which is going to help with weight loss and things like that. So, yeah, it's definitely a reset. And for folks to, and then after the fast is over, you know, I'm going to maintain it like just fasting one day a week, just to keep that momentum going, because it keeps the discipline there. And once you've fasted multiple times, or you've done a 5-10 day fast, one day a week is not that big of a deal, but it's a great way to regulate and keep you from falling off this routine and pattern, and to keep you disciplined. And so it's a great way to balance things out.
Moving towards your goals, you know, of being healthy. I remember at one point I was putting patients on the fast, and they would get on the fast, and they would do so well. I mean, lose weight, their skin was better, you know, less depressed, all these things. And then they would, over time, they would go back to their old ways.
Right.
So I got upset. I said, look, and I started instituting, I want you to do a 10 to 14 day fast, 1 to 2 times a year, 3 days once a quarter, 1 day once a week.
And
when people start doing that, I mean,
that's a way to help maintain it, and you maintain the discipline. It brings you back to it as well. Yeah. And so that's the plan. I think it's because you can't have the boomerang where some feel, if you're not in the right frame of mind of why you're doing the fast and you feel really deprived, and then after it's over, you go back and start, you know, you're hungrier and you eat a bunch of food, then you're going to just put any gains of weight loss that you had, you know, back on. So, and kind of undo some of that progress. And, so
sometimes you're very disciplined and you get around your folk. I tell people the hardest, the worst people to get to be around is your relatives when you're trying to be healthy. They will try to insist that you eat some of that stuff that's killing them, you know?
True.
And
you definitely want to be around supportive people during a fast. Yeah.
All right. Brother Frank.
Yes. We have editorial to broadcast. Go, Kalia.
The The mayor's budget proposal before the city council would dismantle the DC Healthcare Alliance that provides critical healthcare coverage to low-income residents, mostly immigrants, who don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid. The alliance was created in 2001 in the wake of the closing of our only public hospital, DC General, to cover very low-income residents and immigrants, part of our historic commitment as a sanctuary city. Mayor Bowser's budget includes many things that will harm our low-income and working-class residents. Drastic healthcare cuts are a top priority and will likely strain emergency health services for the city. Cuts proposed to the alliance will compromise or end healthcare for 28,000 of our most vulnerable residents, few if any of whom will be able to afford private health insurance. Given the all-out assault on the people by the executive branch, the Congress, and the Supreme Court, the need for the alliance will clearly increase. The fact is, we keep us safe. With $48 million in next year's budget, the council could fund the alliance and continue protecting 28,000 D.C. lives. The D.C. council must put residents first and not double down on the harms that federal lawmakers have already caused our immigrant neighbors, our communities, our country, our democracy. Let us be clear. Cutting the alliance now sentences thousands of our neighbors to death. This is unacceptable. As D.C. residents, we expect our city council members to address these budgetary concerns. The final vote takes place on Monday, July 28th. We keep us safe. This has been Michelle Tingling Clemens for Tahiel D.C., a Ward 7 resident, LSB member, and longtime WPFW listener with a WPFW editorial.
Important information. I was so sad when they closed DC General. I as a medical student, I rotated through DC General, and then as an intern and resident, I spent many hours in that place. And it helped a lot of people. And then, you know, it's just greed. I mean, it makes you so angry, you know. That what's happening in our community, and so I hope that people really get upset.
Yeah.
What's going on?
You two are doing something about it, because the lifestyles that you all present helps us prevent diseases and suffering. You know, so this show is very important as well, especially in these times. But call your councilman. Definitely call your councilman.
You know, one of the things, I said something this past Sabbath at church. We, you know, for the month of July, we dealt with health. And Dr. Lathan was with us 2 weeks ago, and mm-hmm. he did an excellent job looking at chronic diseases. And we were talking about how broken the healthcare system was. But one of the things that I said is that we are becoming too dependent upon the healthcare system.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we need to recognize that those folk in the back, the jungles of Africa don't have all of this modern health care stuff, but they have some of the lowest rates of hypertension and cancer and heart disease in the world, you know. No arthritis, no, very little obesity. You know, they get obese when they move to the city and start doing like Americans. And so we need to re-educate ourselves, and fasting is an opportunity for us to get our heads together and help try to reverse some of these things, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, when you fast, we talked about how it decreases depression and enhances your mood. And one of the reasons is that when you fast, endorphins are increased, especially serotonin. You know, it's increased in our bodies. You know, we look upon this as being, you know, I'm just depriving myself of food, but we're doing some major things. And you also, there's something called BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. And that is also increased during fasting. And
right.
that helps to calm you down.
Exactly. And speaking of the mental clarity that comes, and that's a lot because of the ketones get broken down during your fasting, and that helps your brain enhance the focus of that. So that's another thing that that is improved on the fast is the mental clarity, the brain fog, as you mentioned, the depression and all of that. And that's because of the way the body is now metabolizing different fats and burning those. Another, you know, another good one
before we make this point, there are some people who perhaps want to ask some questions or make some comments. The number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Give us a call with questions or comments. Go ahead, Doc.
I was going to say a lot of people have digestive problems like leaky gut, IBS, and different food sensitivities. And fasting for, you know, a period of at least 5 days and more can help heal that because it gives the body a chance to heal the intestinal lining from the inflammation that happens every time we eat something that the body doesn't like. So when you stop that eating, it's going to stop the bloating and the inflammation. And once that inflammation goes down, then the healing of the gut lining repairs. So it can actually greatly improve or end things like the IBS and leaky gut and those and food sensitivities in general.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting. A lot of those problems are due to food allergies. All right, allergies, and you know, I'll see patients. They don't have headaches or dizziness, blurred vision. They don't have chest pain or shortness of breath. But when I get down to that belly, they got gas. They got bloating. Their bowels are all irregular. You know, and when you fast, you get a chance to get all that stuff together. Once again, the number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Let's go back to, let's go to our phones. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Dr. Watkins, can you hear me?
Yes.
This is one of your patients, Sherwin. How you doing?
I'm doing extremely well, my brother.
Okay, so I have one comment to make to you, to your success, but I've been doing your fasting program. You know, my diagnosis was follicular lymphoma, and I just want to share with you. Last week, after a CT scan, the oncologist said that it's a spontaneous remission. But I have been doing the quarterly 10 to 14 day cleanse, which includes you know, cleaning your blood and your cells, and in addition, it's once a week. And you remember 6 months ago, back December, well, more than that now, back in December 2024, you said in order to knock this thing out, to get them lymph nodes to go normal, you're going to have to step up the juicing and all of that, which I did do, but I just wanted to chime in that the fasting, I think, besides the quarter, I think it was almost like every day I would just do the 16 hours where I'm not consuming anything. And so I guess one of my questions is to maintain this remission, is fasting going to be something that's critical to that?
Well, I believe that we should fast all the time. All right. We should fast.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I have found is that, matter of fact, the first case I read about the IGF one, the insulin growth factor one being decreased with fasting, was with a patient who had lymphoma, and he went into spontaneous remission. Spontaneous remission with fasting. The other thing that lowers the IGF-1 levels is your plant-based whole food diet. All right?
Yes.
And so as you continue on your program, you want to do periodic fasting, but you also want to make sure that you're doing those whole foods.
Okay. One more thing. I heard you mention serotonin can also be increased in the brain due to or assisted by fasting, which is an issue my wife has had for years now. But she's been taught and she believes that there's nothing that can put serotonin back in the brain.
Well, that's not true. Matter of fact, they treat manic depression with dopamine, all right? And dopamine is a neurotransmitter that goes to form, that carries messages in the brain, all right? Well, L-tryptophan, which is an amino acid, which you can get from your foods, or 5-HTP, which you can get from your health food store, goes to form L-serotonin, which then goes to form L-dopamine, which is that neurotransmitter. And so it definitely will improve and increase those serotonins. You know, so tell your wife, go and read about the impact of L-tryptophan on serotonin.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you very much, and thank you for your assistance these past few years.
My pleasure. I'm glad that you're doing so well. Once again, the number is 202-588.
All right.
Number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. You know, one of the beautiful things about fasting is it gives you an opportunity to really introduce a lot of good foods in your diet, Dr. Lathan. After you do the initial water fast,
right?
The raw organic fruits and vegetables, you know, even whole grains, seeds, all those things you can add to the program. I used to not use smoothies when I fast, but when I found out that I was depriving my patients of all those good fiber-rich foods, you know, then I changed my story and I just told them, just thin it out.
So
it doesn't stimulate the digestive system so you won't get hungry, but that it will still provide the fiber that is needed. Why is fiber in the colon so important, Dr. Lathan?
Right. So fiber is going to bind with a lot of toxins and free radicals in our system. And free radicals are the things that happen just from everyday living, from our cells getting broken down. And so when you stop some of those free radicals from circulating, then that's a good thing. And so fiber binds with those and takes it out of the system. Yeah. It's also the thing that helps you have regular bowel movements. Without fiber, you know, that's going to be very difficult. So fiber cleans as it goes, binds with the toxins, and is what gets us to regular elimination. And with regular elimination comes improved health, because if your transit time from when you eat something from when till when you eliminate it is slow, like a few days or, you know, longer, then that things putrefy in your gut and then toxins can be reabsorbed into your system, causing inflammation and things like that. So digestion should take place very quickly within a day, than 24 hours rather. And that's what keeps us well, you know, getting the toxins out of our system as quickly as possible. So fiber is hugely important for
fiber
regulation.
Also, mm-hmm. Fiber also helps that microbiome.
Exactly. And yeah. If it sits there too, if your waste sits there too long, then your microbiome is going to be disrupted and not good.
Mm-hmm. So we have a caller on the line, but Dr. Ruby, mm-hmm. I love to eat and I have trouble fasting. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to do it real soon. I might do it with you.
Okay.
Is there some guidance that you have?
She started today, Brother Frank.
Yeah.
He can still join.
I'm a little late. So is there some guidance that you have that will help me when I come off the fast?
First you want to, depending on how long you've done it, usually you want to start with fruit after the fast. So, you know, juicy fruits like watermelon, grapefruit, those kind of things. And then leafy greens. You know, what you want to avoid the first few days after a fast is oil, fried foods, heavy carbohydrates. What you mm-hmm. want are fruits, vegetables, leafy greens. It's good to do that on both ends, starting and ending, so that you're easing back into eating. And then with some nuts and seeds, second and third day. But the first day is, you know, it can be, if it's been a water fast, it can even just be green juices, and then going on to the fruits and vegetables after that. And then healthy raw recipes, that some of which are in my cookbook, that you could use, as well as some juicing and smoothie.
Dynamic book, Brother Frank. I got me a copy, man.
Yes. So that can be used, as well to merge into healthy, you know, clean eating. So no processed foods right after fast. You know, we're very clean, basic fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, the broth, you know, vegetable broth and those kind of things as you merge off.
All right. So
we have a caller.
Let's go back to our phone. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Walker. Good afternoon to you and your guests. And this is a very welcome topic today because it helps me to fact check some of the things that I do in my fasting and straighten up. I've been doing fasting for a number of years now, and I'm always interested in getting more information to make sure that I'm on tap. As a matter of fact, I incorporate fasting in my regimen of healthy eating as much as exercise. And I set a goal. Sometimes a goal may be a spiritual fast, may be a informational fast. Sometimes we have so much information impacting us on all kinds of platforms and whatnot. And sometimes I just fast from that. Sometimes if it's a spiritual fast, I meditate and fast for a few days on that. And fasting has allowed me, being a 75-year-old, has allowed me to have some sense of order and moving in a positive way in life, along, you know, with my spiritual life and everything. It's just a wonderful thing a wonderful place to be, you know. And I appreciate now what I was hearing just now from the doctor, saying how you should come off the fast with not going down and celebrating and going out and eating a big fat steak or chicken or whatever. I'm vegetarian anyway. But in other words, overeating. And a long time ago when I first started doing it, I used to have that. And it seems like you lose so much after you fast about 3 or 4 or 5 days and you go back and, you know, you overeat and you get so much with desserts and whatever. It seemed like you compromise your fast.
Yeah. So you have to set some goals, you know. And to me, there's also a spiritual component. We talked about it at the beginning. And so you need to pray, you know?
Yeah.
One of the things that I want to quickly say is that there are certain people who shouldn't fast. People who are overweight and have gout, they need to, we don't put them directly on a fast. We start them off with the fruits and so forth and gradually move them. They have colitis, they already have bowel issues. And so they need special guidance. I put them on fast, but with guidance. But the pregnant and the nursing, I don't put them on a fast at all. You know, once they complete the nursing, then I will allow them to fast. And the reason is probably not health. It's more I don't want to be sued. I don't want to be sued.
Dr. Ruby, so what about, do you have any resources that when I come off the fruit and at the end of the fast?
Yeah, absolutely. So I mentioned you want to eat very clean and a lot of raw foods. And that's a lot of that you can find in my book, Stop Playing Go Vegan, which you can get on my website, which is rubylathan.com. That's RubyLathon.com. Also have smoothie recipes, which are great for breaking a fast as well. Juices there. And I'm also having a launch party on August 9th for the book, where folks who are in the area can come. If you don't have a copy of the book, that comes with it. So you can go to my website and get details on that. Again, it's rubylathon.com, RubyLathon.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ruby. Brother Frank, you have any closing comments?
Yes, we want to thank the WPFW staff. Thank you, Dr. Ruby. And thank you, Dr. Watkins, for reviewing this important question. I mean, it's an important topic. There are so many facets of it, and we didn't get a chance to name all of the types, but we thank you for that. Thank you, Kalia Chapman. Thank you, Joni. Thank you to all the PFW programmers, listeners, and everybody. Just thank you for doing the job you do. We also have a pledge drive coming up next week for the 2 weeks.
Let's get ready.
Yeah, but get ready to give back for sure. We thank you, Oladari and Maccabee, for your musical contributions, and we're out.
Salamata. I tell and a vegan, we're vegan. I and I eat from the earth and need the animals to give birth. No deaders, no fur, no feathers. When I tell people I don't eat meat, fish, or dairy, then look for me strangely.
From August 3rd through the 16th, during our summer pledge drive, we present WPFW, 48 Years of Centering Blackness. We'll commemorate Black August and celebrate not only the freedom fighters, political prisoners, and those who have perished in the struggle for Black liberation, but also the scholars, musicians, and poets whose work has served the Black liberation struggle. There are forces working to erase the contributions and significance of Black people. Your contribution ensures that WPFW is not erased and that the voices of Black people throughout the diaspora continue to be platformed here. Donations can be made anytime at WPFWFM.org. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
African Diaspora International Film Festival, Africa World Now Project, and GWU Africana Studies Program present the 18th Annual African Diaspora International Film Festival DC, August 1st to the 3rd, featuring a film on Walter Rodney, films on Black musical traditions, and more. receptions, and Q&As. ADIFFDC from August 1st to the 3rd at the GWU Student Center. Tickets and schedule at nyadiff.org or at 212-864-1760. ADIFF, where Black Life Matters. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
The Birchmere presents Sheila Eat, July 30th. Switch, August 10th, and Jazz, Funk, and Soul, featuring Jeff Lorber, Everett Harp, and Paul Jackson Jr. on August 13th. Details at birchmere.com.
For WPFW News in Washington, I'm Sue Goodwin. Here are some headlines. Another 14 people have died of malnutrition in Gaza in the past 24 hours, Gaza's health ministry says, bringing the total of starvation-related deaths to at least 147. Facing international condemnation, Israel began a pause in military operations in parts of Gaza for 10 hours per day to allow minimal aid to enter the territory. Tom Fletcher, the UN's Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs, said he welcomed the pause, which began yesterday, but also described the aid deliveries as a drop in the ocean. Quote, "This is progress, but vast amounts of aid are needed to stave off famine and a catastrophic health crisis." Close quote. Israel, which controls the entry of all supplies to Gaza, has denied there is starvation in Gaza and rejected accusations of being responsible for food shortages. In related news, an analysis by the U.S. Agency for International Development found no evidence of widespread theft by Hamas of U.S.-funded humanitarian aid in Gaza. The Israeli government has used that unproven claim as its main rationale for restricting food from entering Gaza. The analysis also contradicts the U.S. State Department's claims that were used to justify backing the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, a controversial organization that took over aid distribution from the U.N. According to the Palestinian Health Ministry and the UN, more than 1,000 people have been killed by Israeli forces as they sought aid, with 60% killed while trying to reach GHF sites. In more news, dozens of ministers are gathered at the United Nations today for a conference on laying out the parameters for a two-state solution between Israel and Palestine. Hosted by France and Saudi Arabia, the conference is being boycotted by the U.S. and Israel. Saudi Foreign Minister Prince Faisal bin Farhan said the implementation of a two-state solution in the Israeli-Palestine crisis was the key to regional stability, and he called for an immediate end to the humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza, a demand echoed by Norwegian diplomat Espen Barfid.
There is an acute economic crisis in Palestine, threatening the very foundations of the state, the fabric of life, with the running of schools and hospitals and all public services, frankly, everything that has been built over the last 30 years. We need to stop this bleeding. Stop Israel from holding back clearance revenue transfers. Stop access and movement restrictions. Stop the expansion of settlement activities, which are confiscating land, hindering agricultural activity, and hindering trade and economic progress.
In more news, the United States and the European Union yesterday concluded a framework trade agreement. The deal imposes a 15% import tariff on most EU goods and includes plans for the EU to invest approximately $600 billion in the United States and dramatically increase its purchases of U.S. energy and military equipment. The tariff is half the rate Washington had threatened, though much more than Europeans hoped for. Still, EU states largely backed the deal they acknowledged was lopsided, but avoids the prospect of a transatlantic trade war. French